Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
All right. Don't go nowhere. We're going to end up in a minute. Sit down for a second. So, Romans 12 says to you and me, Romans 12, 1 to 2. Put it on the screens for me, because I want you to see it. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Can I get three people to help me? Three people to help me. Three people to help me. I just need three of you. I don't need everyone. Okay, just three. Stand right here for me. Three people. There you go. One in the middle, one on this side, one on that side. There you go. There you go. The problem is this. You see, On Sunday morning, we come in and our soul is feeling some kind of way. Because your soul is that part of you that does the feeling. Contrary to what we believe, your soul does the feeling. That's why they call it soul. Because you feel with it. You come in some days feeling defeated in your soul. You come in some days feeling sick in your soul. There are some days you come in feeling mad in your soul. Some days you come in feeling great in your soul. We live with the perception. Most of us do live with the perception that our body, our brain controls our mind, and that, or that they're the same thing, and they're not. Your brain and your mind are not the same thing. I'm going to say it again. Your brain is not your mind. When the Bible declares you have the mind of Christ, it's saying something powerful. It is suggesting that in order for your soul, which has your mind, your body has your brain, but your soul has your mind, your spirit, then when that scripture is testified, it says, if your spirit possess your soul, then you do possess the mind of Christ. So we come in on Sunday morning. We touch the throne room of heaven. You couldn't tell me otherwise that I was sick, that I was infirm, that I was defeated. You can't tell me right now that hell has its victory. You can't tell me right now that the enemy's winning. There's no way I can convince you that right now, when the Spirit of the Lord is present and captives have been set free, liberty is saturated in the air like oil, just dripping down all over. I couldn't convince you right now. And so we go around for about 2 days like this. About 2 hours. We leave here. We go over, get us something to eat. And then as soon as we're done with that, something happens. Something happens over here. then suddenly we are led by our flesh, by our body. Our body starts lying to our mind. Our mind starts making decisions from the flesh. He starts leading us in a direction we don't want to go. And look at what the Spirit has to do. Y'all go ahead, walk. Look at what the Spirit has to do when you do that. He's subject to the ride. Keep going. The Spirit, now your brain, your body has connected with your soul, is leading you, and now your spirit is not in control, but subject. You can be born again, but subject to all of the ramifications and fallouts of hell for your life. The Spirit's just sitting there, walking behind it. Hey, that means where when you go into something, the Spirit of the living God goes into it, but is powerless to bring you through to victory through it. One more time, get back up there the same way. And Paul says this. He said, I beg you, by the mercies of heaven, that you present your body a reasonable sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Make your body subject to the Spirit. Don't agree with it. Make it watch. Which one's the Spirit here? Oh, you're the body. The body will try to trick you. The brain will try to trick you. I'll get to that in a minute. Because the brain is created to keep you alive. And it's conditioned to respond to fear. 2-year-old burns himself, don't do that again. It's taught to respond to fear. The Bible declares that you have not been given a spirit of, but of. But the brain is subject and it responds to fear. It reinforces fear, which leads your soul in a direction, makes your mind. And here's what science proves. Science proves that when you make a decision, if it be for life, then every cell in your body replicates itself to life. But if you make a toxic, cynical, negative decision, every cell in your body compresses and brings forth illness, infirmity, depression, sickness, disease. 65 to 90% of all infirmity comes from our mind. Did you hear what I just said? So chances are, if you know somebody sick, or if you are sick, more than likely it has come from here. This may be why Job declared, that thing which I feared has come upon me. I reinforced fear. That means I agreed with it. I occupied my soul with it. And every cell in my body manifested it. There are these things called non-conscious and conscious thoughts. Your non-conscious thoughts. All this material, really, you got to go read some material from Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Anybody read her? Everywhere I go, this is what God is speaking to the body. This is what God is speaking. Everywhere I go, this is what God is speaking. Your non-conscious or subconscious thoughts, they operate in quantum. Quantum. You know what? Quantum. Outside of time and space. This is not theology I'm giving you. This is not theology. This is science, psychology, neurology. This is science. This is science bowing its knee to what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, why did Paul say this? Because Paul knew that your subconscious or non-conscious thoughts, which operate in quantum, if you don't allow yourself to partner with the Spirit of the living God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, subjecting it to forcing it. If you don't allow a screen to exist in your mind, then Paul here is suggesting this. He's saying, listen, I beg you, don't do that. Don't do that. Because what's happening with your thoughts are literally creating your reality. Because think about it. Your quantum thoughts. I'm going to tie this all together. Your quantum thoughts. So today, you go home. You let stuff come in. You let thoughts come in. And even while I'm saying this, your non-conscious thoughts, your non-conscious mind is operating at quantum. But your conscious mind is also operating. So you're contemplating what I'm saying and you're drawing up something I might say or something you're interpreting or something. It's happening so fast. It's happening so fast as you even listen to me. Words are coming into your mind. Other thoughts are erupting from you. That comes from a place, another place of time and dimension that's not here. Because if it were here, I'd have to manifest it for you. I'd have to create it for you. But it's not. It's coming from within you from another place. So just think about the thoughts you think and how powerful they are and how important they are to your life. If they operate in another time and place for you, this is what it suggests. That even while you're not thinking about the thought you logged, it's working for you. So if you, in your mind, you partner with the Spirit and you say, I am the healed of the Lord by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every time a negative thought comes, you send it down. You cause it to bow its knee. You take it captive and you replace it. Then what's happening with that thought is, that thought, even when you stop thinking now and you go to bed or you're not thinking about it, that thought is somewhere else in the medical clinic of heaven and it's working out healing for you. It's manufacturing healing. It's taking the blood and applying it to your life. It's actually creating a molecular change and transformation in your DNA when you're not even thinking about it. There is a God who works on your behalf when you're not paying attention. He neither sleeps nor slumbers, but he's working out your good. He's working on your destiny. And what Paul here is saying is, do not conform yourself. Now, next verse, chapter 2, or verse 2. He said, don't do that. He said, and do not, what does he say? Be conformed to this world. Don't pour yourself into the form of what your brain thinks it should look like. Don't pour yourself into sickness just because the doctor says so. Don't pour yourself into sin just because your flesh wants it. Don't pour your thoughts into destruction just because circumstances seems like it can't happen. You are the exception. You are the exception to the rule. If you'll just let go, don't conform yourself to your brain, but allow your mind to be renewed so your life can be transformed into the image. Transformation. What is Paul saying? Paul is suggesting to you and me what science has declared today. They just caught up to this stuff. But Paul said a long time ago. Paul said a long time ago. It took them years to figure it out. But Paul said, listen, you want to be transformed? You want to create the reality of your destiny? You really want what you long for? It happens here. It happens right here. This is the gold mine. This is where the treasure is buried. This is it right here. You want a renewed life? You want every 100 trillion cells of your body to work on your behalf, to manifest your greatness and all of God's goodness for you? It's right here. It's right here. You have to renew your mind so your life can be transformed. Paul was saying what the scientists were saying. He's saying, listen, your thoughts are quantum. God's up here working out your stuff, but you got to keep your mind stayed on him. You got to keep leaning unto him for your understanding. You got to keep going to him when thoughts come into your mind. You got to cast them down, replace them with the thoughts of the Lord. Declare what God says over you. And you'll have a transformed life. And what your transformed life does, look, your transformed life proves, it's proof to the world what God has in store for you. I could begin to tell you, but you wouldn't believe me, how God is opening doors. Because the stuff I've been thinking about my whole life, I tapped it. You know, it's possible. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Give them a great big hand. It's possible to engage a truth but not have the revelation of the truth. There are people out there doing it who are walking in principles of truth without the revelation of why it's actually manifesting in their life. And I started to do this a long time ago. I had all these longings within me. I said, God, I want to do this and I want to do that. I want this. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, and here's the religion of it all. A lot of people would come and say, well, that's prideful. You shouldn't want those things. And so they would actually begin to tell you to suppress the DNA of God's greatness and potential within you because they're intimidated by who and what you represent and how you want to represent him. And I said, no, I want a national influence. There's enough garbage going on in this world. I want national influence. I'm looking for a radio show. You know, I began to whisper that to the Lord years and years and years ago. I said, God, I really would like a radio show. I want my own radio show. I think before the Breakfast Club ever came around and everybody was digging it, I'm like, I dig that. I want to do that. That's awesome, you know. And I was saying, I whisper that to God, and I'd go do the research too, you know. I'd go and I'd ask the radio people, you know, how much would it cost me to, you know, do this, that, and the other. I got this thing in my spirit that won't let go of me, and I didn't have radio money. I didn't have it. I didn't have that kind of money. And then I said, well, I just kind of put it on the shelf and said, you know, but I remember whispering to the Spirit. And I want to encourage you, partner with the Holy Spirit. Partner with Him. When you start making these things, we're gonna pray a prayer in a minute. But when you start making decisions, partner with the Holy Spirit that has the mind of the Lord. Has the mind of the Lord. The Spirit of God does what? Lead you into all truth. You want to get to your destiny? You want to get to your destination, your destiny? Partner with the Spirit of truth. And so I began to whisper to God this stuff. And when they told me it couldn't be done, I never accept defeat. Like Michael Jordan, I said, I never lost the game. I just ran out of time. I don't know what happened. I just couldn't. I don't know. But God's, you know, God's not finished with that yet. When somebody said, well, that never happened, I said, well, God's not finished with it yet. I'm still up here walking around, sucking air on this big green ball of dirt. So, hey, God's not done yet. So I don't know. So I just kind of, you got to shelf some stuff. There's some time that you got to shelf some stuff. But here, don't ignore the hustle. Don't ignore the hustle. There are too many of us just gave up too soon. Just quit. Like if you're 60 years old in here, you got another 40 to go. Stop quitting on me. Let's do some other stuff. But so they said no, and I just kind of put it on the shelf. I put it on the shelf. I get a phone call. I'm coming back from some mess I had to deal with. I'm coming back. I was feeling some kind of way. I had to force myself to listen to the Spirit. I was kind of angry, you know. I was trying not to sin. But I'm coming back, and I get this message. Troy, I want to talk with you when you get back. I got this idea. Called me. I said, really? So I called him back. He said, I got this radio. I got this station. I want you to do a show on it. Amen. I said, well, I don't have that kind of money, man. He said, you know, we already been down this road. He said, no, I'm going to give you prime time, drive time, 2 hours, do what you want. Act like you got 49% of the company in your pocket. Now, I put it on pause for a minute. And I went back and I said, God, you knew the desires of my heart. I logged that in my mind way back. I put that thought in investment. Long time ago, I put it in investment. I put it on the shelf and in the vault, and it was investing for me. And while I was out doing some other stuff, you know, just swinging at the devil, just out here working, just out here grinding away, you know, making things happen for the Lord, I'm just out here doing it, just running the game. And then I get a phone call, and he didn't say that. He said, Troy, you know, I was sent on behalf of the Lord to let you know your promises is coming. It's manifested. It's here. You're walking in it. Everything, every desire of your heart. But that happened here. And in quantum time, it was working out for me. And I can name you another one and another one. I can sit here and just tell you all about it. But it's for you. But it's for you. Take those thoughts captive. How many have ever heard it takes 21 days to create a habit? That's a lie. Don't believe it. That's a bold-faced lie. How many tried 21 days of one thing consistently and it's still there? You know how many people I know grab hold of that one third of a truth and wake up on the other side of it in defeat, because it's not true. Psychologists and research indicates it takes 63 days to establish a habit. 63. 3 21-day increments. The first thing you have to do, research and science suggests, is you have to take the current thought, the current habit, and you have to think a different thought about it. You have to actually cast down the argument. You actually have to take the thought captive. You have to take it, and you have to, what do you do? When you take a thought captive, what do? You replace it with another one. So I want you to think with me of the biggest challenge of your life. The dreams, the stuff, your thoughts, you know. Think with me for a minute about your destiny and your identity and your purpose. What is God calling you to? But what are your thoughts lying to you about that? Chances are your greatest opposition comes in between your ears about your destiny. If God's called you to be healed, if He's called you to bring healing and manifest healing, chances are you struggle with healing in your body. If God's called you to bring victory in this area, then chances are that's your greatest opposition. So I want you to think about it right now. What is it? Think about your destiny. If you don't know your purpose, then just think about your identity. Your father. Think about the molecular DNA that you carry from your father. All right? And say, I don't know what my purpose is. Start considering what your DNA is from your Father in heaven. What is born in your spirit that has not yet manifested? That's your destiny. That's your purpose. Think about your dreams. That stuff that the enemy comes and lies to you about. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't want that. Think about that. That's God's greatness within you. Now I want you to take your thoughts. Let's agree together. Come on, if you have something in your mind, stand to your feet right now. Come on, you got something in your mind, stand to your feet right now. You say, I got something, and I'm gonna work on this something, and I'm gonna make this something manifest, and I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna take these thoughts, and I'm gonna make these thoughts create my reality of my DNA. Now, if you're standing with me, here's what we're gonna do. For the next 21 days, we're gonna cast down. We're gonna cast down every thought that opposes your identity, your purpose, your dream. God's promise for your life. You're going to cast it down. How do you cast it down? You take the word of the living God. The promises of your Father that bear the DNA of your Father. And you take them and you replace them. You take the thought. You say no in Jesus' name and literally say it out loud. Listen, this is a covenant. For 21 days, you covenant with me. We're going to see transformation come to your life, this church's life, this city's life, this nation's life, this region. We're going to see God do something amazing in the next 21 days. We're going to do this. We're going to take every thought captive, every thought that disagrees, every thought that's a lie, every thought that brings death and destruction, because here's how you were wired. You were wired for what? Power, love, sound mind. So anything that, any thought that comes to you that strips you of your power, love, or sound mind, it has to be cast down. It has to be cast down. Any thought that opposes your power, don't you let the enemy trick you there. The enemy was so sly. He'll come in and I can't stand this. He will come in and he'll tell you, that's not, with a religious spirit, with a religious spirit. See, you don't have that kind of power. That's not your power. You shouldn't want that things for yourself. That you shouldn't do that. You just prideful. You're just fully. No. I'm just manifesting the DNA of my Father. Don't you listen to religion, that religious spirit from the enemy. Don't listen to it. No, understand. Know the word of your Father. Know the heart of your Father. He wants His goodness to be extended to you. Is there any father in here, if their child were to become greater than them, that you would be threatened by it? Not if you're a real father. He said, no. And so don't you think that your father wants to suppress your greatness either. So power, love, sound mind, anything that violates that has to go in the first 21 days. In the first 21 days, these next 21 days, 21 days from now, we will have taken out that thought and replaced it with another one. Amen? Next 21 days, we're going to create a habit. We're going to create a habit. Choosing. Whenever you choose, I want to get this correct. Whenever you choose, you turn a probability into an actuality. So if you choose, you turn what could be into an actuality. But if you never choose, that's why your conscious mind matters. Your conscious mind is what makes the decision. Your non-conscious mind works for you, but your conscious mind makes your non-conscious mind pay. It literally lets those things into your non-conscious mind. You follow me? So we have to choose, because choosing turns it into an actuality rather than, it might happen. No, this will happen if I choose life. This will manifest if I choose life. Every cell in my body. Follow me. You good? You following me? The next 21 days, you have to choose. You have to double down. You have to choose. So you know, when you go into superposition, don't lose me. When you go into superposition and you're getting ready to make a decision, there's this thing that happens genetically. Every cell in your body is kind of standing there waiting to hear what your decision will be. Remember I said that. And when you make a decision, they either go towards, they either rise and feed and genetically duplicate it, or they compress and create death. And so in the next in the second 21 days, we're actually going to double down, right? We're going to reinforce. So the first 21 days, we're getting rid of it. In the next 21 days, that's all we're going to say to ourselves. That's all you're going to tell yourself. So what you'll begin to notice is the negativity, the cynicism, the bitterness, all of it. You're not even going to recognize anymore. But because your mind's going to be stayed on Him. Your mind's going to be so focused. You're going to see a clarity come upon you that you've never known possible. You're going to see a focus come into your life that you never knew possible in the next 21 days. So you're going to double down. So for that one scripture, now you got two or three more. You're going to double down on the truth of God's promises for your life. You're going to invest. You're going to go looking for scriptures to invest into the vault of your conscious mind, to put them into the non-conscious and say, man, I tripled down on that investment. I made that. I got something special happening. The Tao of my life is on the rise. Like, I got 300% coming back to me on healing. I got 200% coming back to me on monetary. I got 400% coming back to me in my children. I got 600% coming back to me in my community. I've been investing, man. My thoughts are about to pay me some big dividends in the next 21 days. You hear me? You hear me? So you start investing with your conscious mind. You start doubling, tripling. You start investing as much as you can. You get into the Word. You make the richness of God's Word produce dividends for your life. And then watch this. So we done been through 221 days. On the third 21 day, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. On that third 21 day, you're going to find your brother and your sister. You're going to find somebody who's struggling in their mind. You're going to find that one person and say, man, you're always negative. You're always cynical. You always think the worst is going to happen. You're always looking for the destruction of this or that. You're always race baiting. You're always out here hating. You're always out here throwing shade. You're going to go get that dude. You're going to go get your sister, your brother, and you're going to start whispering in their ear, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Listen, you're going to start telling them, this is who you're made in the image of. Your Father knows your DNA. He knows your plan. This is the assignment from heaven over your life. There is greatness on the inside of you. Your heart does not pump Kool-Aid. Your heart pumps the blood of your Father. Your heart is producing a heart of a warrior for your nation, for your community, and for your children's children. Children, we're about to do something amazing. Oh, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to declare the victory and the promises of heaven over your life. And I'm not going to let your arms grow weary. And as soon as you start to fall, as soon as you start to slumber, I'm going to pick you back up. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to keep you held up. I'm going to raise your hands in victory, and I'm going to walk you through. We're going to go at it. And we're going to see what Paul declared. We're going to be renewed in our minds, and we're going to see transformation come to our life. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand clap. I'm going to close now. John 8. You good? Amen. John 8. There's somebody out there, and you're listening to me. Your mom and dad said some pretty bad things to you. And those thoughts, they cripple you. There's somebody out there who was assaulted as a child. And those thoughts are crippling you. Abuse, addiction, depression. I declare in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus will wash away, obscure and blur every thought, and replace it with His love. His love for you, because He loves you. John 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, He came again into the temple. Where did He go? Y'all can play. Early in the morning, He came into the temple. Can I get somebody to bring me a chair? Just any chair would do. Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? He was in the temple. Can you put it up there for me? Thank you. So early in the morning, Jesus came to the temple. All your promises. I knew you knew. So Jesus is in the temple. It's early in the morning and He's teaching, it says. All the people came to Him and they sat down and He taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. Where did they bring Him? Bring her? To the temple. So she's caught in adultery. She's accused and condemned and brought to Jesus for sentencing. Right? And this is what a spirit of religion will do. You hear today? A spirit of religion will come, arrest you, condemn you, and convict you before the judge has ever spoken. Before the one who has the authority to cast judgment has cast judgment. You see, a spirit of religion will come to you and say, you are guilty. You know that, right? And try to convince you in the house of the Lord This wasn't outside the temple. This wasn't outside the walls of Jerusalem where all the Gentiles hung out. This was in the house where the judgment, the condemnation occurred. And if we're ever going to get to a place where our thoughts have the place in the room for freedom to run towards our destiny, we're going to have to get rid of this in the house of God. Condemnation and judgment and sentencing. You don't have no authority to judge me. You don't have it. It don't belong to you. It's not yours. You can't sentence me. Comes to you and tells you you are guilty. And you know in the back of your mind, he reinforces a fear that your brain has created. Remember, your brain is there, and it feeds off of fear because it wants to protect you. And so your brain perpetuates condemnation for you because you know you're guilty. You was caught. I did it. Yeah, it's true. Can you help me? They said they brought her to Jesus. Are you able to kneel? Okay. They brought her to Jesus. They throw her down at Jesus' feet. And remember, I told you, they are in the temple. When they throw her down at Jesus' feet, she knows she's guilty. She knows she's condemned. She, at this moment, is expecting judgment. She's already condemned herself. She's already judged herself. She's already sentenced herself. She's expecting the sentence of death to come. She knows it's there. And many of us who are here today are living the same way. You live with the expectation of the sentence of death over every area of your life because you know in your heart that you did what they said. You know you're guilty. You know you lied. You know you cheated. You know you broke the laws of God. You might have did it last night, but let me tell you something. Said they brought her into the temple of the Lord. And when I got this, I began to shout. And I want you to know, when they brought her into the temple of the Lord, how many people have been to Israel and been to the temple? Raise your hand. If you're out there, tell me what the temple floor is made of. Say it out loud. You can say it. I know what you're going to say. Stone? Is it somebody said what? Huh? What's it made of? What was it when you walked on it? It was made of what? Say it.
Stone.
I just wanted them to know that I wasn't lying. It was made of stone, wasn't it? We walked on it. We're walking on the stone. Whoa. We in our minds in this story about the speaking tongues. In our mind, this story, we imagine this, that Jesus, he sat down and with his human finger, he wrote in the dust and the dirt. But that's not what happened here. No. It said that he was in the temple. What happened here was something that happened. And it's so interesting. Just stay with me. It says the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery and they set her in his midst. And then they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act of sin. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be killed and stoned." Interesting that they should mention Moses. Jesus kneels down at that. I have to think that when Jesus heard them mention the name of Moses, he said, "Okay, the gloves are off. It's over. Gloves are off. You want to see something? I'll show you something." And then Jesus took his finger of divinity and he began to write a love story for only him and her to see. And he took his finger of divinity and he began to write and inscribe into the stone of the temple a love story for her. And he began to tell her, I love you and I don't condemn you, but I set you free and I give my life in as the ransom for thee. I love you this much that I would give my life for you. I do not sentence you to death, but I sentence you to life and life abundantly. He takes his finger and he writes on the stone. And every Jew in that place, every Jew in that place stood up, their jaws dropped, their hearts palpitating. The last time they heard of God writing on stones is when Moses was up on top of the mountain with the Lord. And God was up there writing on the stone tablets and declaring a love story with an interruption. He said, pause, I got a second half of this coming. Jesus came and fulfilled it. And I'm here to tell you today. You say, that is no way. There's no way I can get there. There's no way that I can get to my destiny, my dream, my assignment, but with the DNA inside of me. There's no way it's possible. I want you to know today that God writes on stone. And God is writing on the stony tablet of your heart right now. And he is declaring his love story for you. Every promise is yes and amen. Every promise is yes and amen. He declared with his own finger. And he declared to you and me a love story over our life. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what your past says. Doesn't matter what your circumstance says. Every promise is yes and amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, declare it over your life.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Yep.
All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Everyone.
All your promises are yes and amen.
So I declare in Jesus' name every promise, every stony heart Ezekiel said is going to turn it into a heart of flesh. And right now he's inscribing his love story over your life. Every promise that he has for you is yes and amen. Every one of them healing. Every one of them, your purpose, your identity, your dream. Every promise he ever promised you, yes and amen. There is this thing. I want to do this as we close and we're just going to leave. We're not... This is our altar call. This is your, just in your mind, this is you coming down here. In your mind, just scratch the religion out of it. Scratch the religion out of it. In your mind, this is it. This is your altar call. There's this thing that happens in your brain within 5 seconds of making a decision. I never took the offering. Y'all gotta sit down. Man, you should have told me before I got here. I was up here. Up here. He said, I've been trying. Come on. Come on. Thank you for your faithful giving. If you don't, if you're not compelled to give now, you ain't never gonna be compelled to give. But you know what I'm saying? So there's your checks there, there's envelopes. You can give online. If you're watching, you can give online. Push pay, text us, you can give. Bless this seed as they give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for it. It's how we perpetuate hope and promise in the earth. So as they're collecting that, let me share this one last truth with you, okay? You got to, because, you know, we're taking the offering. There's this thing that happens when you and I make a decision. There's something that happens in 5 seconds. You hear me? 5 seconds. There's this woman, I forget her name. Text me or find me on Facebook. I'll find the resource for you. But she tells a story about how she counts down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And she makes a decision. Because research indicates that if you make a decision, you make it in 5 seconds. If anything more than that, you talk yourself out of the decision, right? So, like, you feel the draw of the Spirit, and you got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so she tells this story about how she just got tired of living this certain way, and she was going to start making decisions based on the NASA shuttle that went up. And when she heard the countdown, she said, "Oh, that's it, that's it." And then she realized there's a principle there that I never had a revelation of, but I just understood it. And so she began to do every decision in her life. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it, don't fear. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it, don't fear. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it, don't fear. And so how many times does God speak to us in our life and we talk ourselves out of it? Because we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 2005, 6, 7, 8. So we ran out of numbers to count, because that's how it works. Because God, the promises of God will come to you and say, choose life, choose life, choose life. And if you count up, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But if you count down, 5, 4, 3, you got to make this decision. 2, 1, what are you going to do? Make it. Make it. You got 5 seconds to make a cognitive, conscious decision to the truth and of your spirit. So your spirit's giving you 5 seconds. Make up your mind. You hear me? Your spirit's saying, you make this decision, you ain't got all day. Because eternity is outside of time, but you're dealing with time. God's trying to let you know you got to quit being such a poor steward of your time. You ain't got a whole bunch of it right now. You only got so much of it. So stop sleeping on most of it. Stop watching TV on most of it. Stop being so leisurely with it. Stop it. And so she would do this thing. She would just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. So she woke up. She had a tendency to hit the snooze button, just like a lot of us do. But maybe you get up, but you're still on snooze. A lot of us like that, get up, still snoozing. You're snoozing on your purpose, your identity, your dreams. You're just snoozing. And so she developed this thing where she would go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up, bang, and go. She would just go. And so she would any decision that came to her. And so then she'd be sitting there and God would say something to her. And she would literally in her mind go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do you know how beautiful you are and how much God loves you? Even though everything in her, even though her brain is screaming at her, don't do it, don't do it. You look like a fool. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And she'd just go, nope, comes from the Lord. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And she would just give the word. And then she would just, and everything in your life. And so here's what I thought would be really cool to go out on today. This is our altar call. And we're going to count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're going to say amen. And then we're just going to leave this place, or we're going to worship or whatever. But we're going to conclude this service with a countdown. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Just get that in there.
All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
5.
All your promises are 4. Yes and amen.
Oh. 3.
All your promises are yes and amen.
2.
All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Come on, give them a great big shout. Lord, we bless you and we love you. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, I'm going to tell you, live right, love everybody, and pray hard. I'm going to let you know that Pastor needs 41 people to assist him with a sermon on September 23rd to hold a sign. Sign up with Betty in the foyer if you'd like to be one of 41. I think I'll be preaching somewhere, but anyhow. God bless you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. All of his promises are yes and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.